Praise God. Praise God for His wonderful mercy and His help. It is so good to be here with you tonight. While you're turning to Matthew chapter 15, I will say again, I appreciate your pastor inviting us to come. So glad that we could come tonight and be with you. Looking forward to our trip in the next few days. Be our third time to Nigeria with Brother Shabanke. We're looking for great things over there, but I'm not looking past this service. I'm looking for great things right here. Anybody have any impossible situations in your lives? Anybody have any impossible situations in your lives? I'm not trapping you. I'm not gonna put you on the spot. I'm never gonna do that in my preaching. But all of us here, nearly all of us here, facing things in some area of your life, you cannot solve it yourself. But our God is the God of the impossible. Oh yes, Jesus said it's impossible with men. One of those places he's inserted this phrase, but not with God. But not with God. It's not impossible for God. Genesis chapter 15, begin reading with verse number 22. Genesis 15 and verse number 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you mind stretching your hands toward heaven, please, tonight and asking the Lord to touch us here? Would you sincerely call out to heaven for us here this evening? Father, I pray right now that you would captivate our hearts and minds here for a few moments. Drive out every hindering spirit, that wicked fowl of the air that would steal your word from us before it has a chance to take root and grow. Bind him in Jesus' name, I pray. Speak your word very clearly to our hearts, O God. I know, Lord, when we respond to you by faith, you will answer our petition. Because that's just the kind of God you are. I thank you for it and I ask you for all of it in the name of Jesus. And everybody can say, amen, amen. I want to talk to you here just for a few minutes tonight about this woman's great faith. Jesus said, great is thy faith. It's Jesus that points out to her and to us that her great faith was the key to receive what she needed from God. This woman came to Christ in this situation with a great need. Can you imagine any greater need than your child being possessed of the devil? This mother's need was great. She comes to a great Savior, a great healer, and she receives in the end a great miracle. But the key to it all was her great faith. But I wonder if she thought she had great faith. I wonder if she was convinced when she came to him that she had great faith. I would imagine if somebody would have got to her and interviewed her on her way to Christ. What is it that makes you think He's going to hear you and grant your petition. She might have said, because we're in such bad shape, my daughter is so sick. She might have said, I don't know, but I've just got to lay it out before him. But I cannot believe, Pastor, for a million years that her answer would have been, he's going to heal my daughter because I've got great faith. I can't imagine that was her answer. I imagine that she thought she was just desperate. Kind of like you are. Kind of like I am. Desperate for a move of God. But the key was great faith. This tells me she had more faith than she thought she did. Now I want to try to convince somebody here tonight that I would say that you have greater faith than you are convinced that you do. You're in a desperate situation. You need God to move in this family situation. You need God to heal your body. You need God to move in this besetting sin. You need God to move in this financial need. You need God to move in your job. I don't know what the need is, but you have a great need before Him. And you just think you're desperate. But I say you probably believe God more than you give yourself credit for. You probably have greater faith than you perceive that you do. Because this woman didn't know she had great faith. But she did some things which demonstrated that she did. Number one, this woman realized who he was. This woman, some way or another, realized who Jesus was. Mark said, a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Oh, blessed day when you hear about somebody that can help. Blessed day when you hear about Jesus. Isn't it amazing in some of our cities where the economy is so terrible, they have advertised for 100 positions or 50 positions, decent paying jobs, and thousands of people apply for those 50 or 100 positions. That demonstrates a great need, doesn't it? That demonstrates a great need. But they didn't come until they heard about it. I want to tell you, this woman, the blessed day of this woman's life was when somebody said, there's a man named Jesus that can heal your daughter. Oh, blessed day when somebody told her about Jesus. But I want to tell you, she not only heard about his miracles, I believe she had heard more about him because she says to him, Lord, thou son of David. She addresses him by his messianic title. Any Jew could be a healer, could be a prophet if they were in tune with God. But here is one from the lineage of David. Lord, thou son of David. She's not a Jew, but somebody has told her this could be the one that we've been looking for hundreds of years. She realized her potential of getting her miracle was in this man. I want to tell you, the first step of great faith, friends, is realizing who he is. Our Christ is not another Christ. Our Christ is not one God of many gods. Our Christ is the Son of the living God. God in the flesh. Thank God he is the Son of God. We're not praying to a statue. No, sir. The brother was singing power in the name of Jesus. You know why that's so powerful? Because it's true. We've got some friends out in California. They were eating at an Oriental-type buffet. Have you ever been in one of those where they have food offered before the Buddha sitting there? Fresh fruit. I've even seen hot food set out there. You know, they have to carry that away because he can't eat it. They offer it to him. Because he's their God. They were in this Oriental buffet, Brother Ken, and the fresh fruit that was sitting around Buddha looked a whole lot better than the fruit that was on the bar, on the all-you-can-eat fruit bar. So she just went over there and got her a piece of fruit out of Buddha's fruit. She just shining it up, bringing it back to the table, and somebody in their party was kind of teasing and said, oh, Buddha's going to get you. And you just got to know this pastor's wife. And she turned around and she said, Buddha, I got your fruit. What are you going to do about it? I dare you to do something about it. Just kind of held it out there in front of him. And you know what he did? Nothing. Because he has no power. He cannot defend himself. He cannot defend his followers. But we're not serving Buddha. We're not serving a dead God. We're serving the Son of God. God in the flesh that overcame death, hell, and the grave. That raised up from the dead so that we could have newness of life. Oh, thank God. We must realize we're serving God, my friend. When we were praying a little while ago over people's needs, we were holding those needs up before a God that sees, that hears and answers. Oh, I'd like to remind you here this evening that when we talk to God, He hears. We realize who He is. She heard of Him and she came, the Bible said there in Mark, and fell at His feet. She cast herself at His feet. She places herself completely at His disposal. She realizes that her daughter's future rests entirely on this man. So she lays her whole case at His feet. Friend, that's what great faith does. Great faith throws everything else to the wind and lays it all into the hands of Jesus. Great faith rests it all upon God. You know, there really is no other foundation. There really is no other real help for us. There really is no other real hope for us. There really is no other rescue for us except Christ. Why does it take us so long to get our messed up lives into the hands of God when we know He is our only hope? Oh, I'd like to preach to somebody here. You're battling with an addiction. You're battling with an illness. You're battling with a situation. My friend, the best thing you can do is just rest it all into the hands of Christ. I said, rest it all in the hands of Christ. He is able when we are not. He is able when our pastor is not. He is able when our families are not. My God is able if you just put it into His hands. Rest it all on Christ. She fell at His feet. Reminds me of the missionary John G. Payton that many of you, I'm sure, have heard about. He was translating the scriptures from his language into their native language. And working among these natives, trying to spread the gospel and try to give them the word of God in their own language. And he could find no word in their culture for believe, no word for faith. I mean, how can you put the gospel across to somebody if you can't tell them about believing God? It's all a matter of faith. It's all a matter of trust. He kept working while he's searching for this word. And finally, one day, one of his native helpers came into the hut where he was working. He plopped himself down on a chair. Plopped his feet up on a second chair. Now, please, please, don't get too restful here on me. I don't want you going to sleep, all right? But you brothers, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Anybody got a recliner at home? You can go from upright to outright in 0.2 seconds. Just flip that lever or pull that lever and, bam, out you go. Sometimes after we've been traveling, I have a feeling it may be, we started traveling Thursday morning in Arizona, and we're here tonight, and we're on our way to Ohio, and we'll probably get there about 1 or 2 o'clock. I imagine when I finally crawl into the bed, I will feel like I often do on Sunday nights. Man, that feels so good. I think I'll crawl back out and crawl in again. Oh, man. Can you imagine what it feels to lay all of my weight on something else? That's what that guy remarked. He said, man, Sister Sharon, quit laughing at me over there. It feels so good to lean my whole weight on something besides myself. And John G. Payton said, give me that phrase. Let me have that. And so everywhere in the New Testament where the Bible says believe, he inserted that phrase, lean your whole weight. And probably the most popular verse with the word believe is John 3:16. Let me read it to you as it would read there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever leans their whole weight on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what believing is, friend. That's what great faith is. It's laying it all in his hands. Are you willing tonight to lean all your weight upon God? Are you willing to trust him with all of your situation? Are you willing to rest on him? That great verse I love preaching from in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to a father, if thou canst lean your whole weight on me, all things are possible. Oh, I wish I could preach to somebody here tonight. I understand this is our getting acquainted sermon. I understand that. I know we're just getting acquainted here tonight, and I don't expect much more than that. But wouldn't it be something? Well, yeah, I guess I do expect much more than that. Wouldn't it be something if God would reach down into somebody's heart that's never seen me before, that doesn't know me, that knows I don't know anything about your situation, and say, that's what I need. God is speaking faith to my heart, and I'm going to take my situation and I'm going to lay it over on God. I'm going to get it out of my hands and put it into God's hands. Great faith rested all upon God. You know you can't break away from sin unless you give it all to God. You can't break away from your addictions unless you give it all to God. You can't be healed unless you give it all to God. That situation can't be fixed unless you give it all to God. Great faith. Rest on him. And that's what this woman did. She comes and throws herself at his feet. Have you ever heard a prayer any more desperate than this mother's prayer? In verse 22, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. She realized who he was. She rested her whole situation upon him. And the Bible said he answered her not a word. Wow. What about that? Have you ever prayed prayers and you felt like that was a result? You poured your heart out to God and you did not hear a word in response. You poured your heart out to God and you got no answer. He answered her not a word. Oh, there's nothing like being ignored. I said, there's nothing like being ignored. Unless it's him finally answering, but not answering you and talking to somebody else. She calls out to him. He answers her not a word. And so the disciples say unto him, she doesn't quit asking, because the disciples say, Lord, would you do something with this woman? Would you got to kind of read between the lines here. Would you do something with this woman? She will not leave us alone. Send her away. She didn't get her answer, but she didn't quit asking. See, great faith is like that. I said, great faith is like that. Great faith realizes he's your only help. Great faith rests on him, and great faith will not quit reaching for him. She just kept calling out to him. She just kept reaching for him. Reminds me of a friend of ours in Weir, Kansas. We were speaking about Brother James Fellers there before church. He's got a granddaughter by his youngest son, and her name is Jalen. And Jalen was just a little less than a year old. We were there preaching revival, and we went to Pizza Hut after church, and they got her a high chair, put the tray and the food on it, but she knew, Brother Jarvis, at that age, that you didn't eat until you said amen. And so we all bowed our heads and we prayed. We said amen, and she commenced to digging in eating. And like probably most one-year-olds, she had more on her on the floor than she had in her. But she ran out of food, and we didn't notice it. We were all talking, having a big time, and she was asking for food. She wanted more food on her tray. And here is how she got our attention. She had both hands reaching out like this, and she was constantly saying, amen, 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 amen. Oh, yeah, it did to you what it did to me. I want to tell you, that got my attention. I thought, that's exactly what the Lord wants to hear from us. Amen. So be it, Lord. Any way you fix it. God, just don't forget me. I'm over here. I mean, she just kept reaching and saying amen. Great faith doesn't always get the answer the first time. I said great faith doesn't always get the answer the first time. But great faith doesn't give up. Great faith doesn't quit. Great faith keeps reaching for God, because great faith realizes God hears and answers prayer. This woman was ignored. He answered her not a word. The disciples send her away. She won't quit asking. But he answered and said, he didn't answer her. He answered them and said, I am not sent but into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I said, if there's one thing worse than being ignored, it's being ignored and talking to somebody else when he could have talked to you. That irritates Odie so bad. And me being a dad, that's one of my callings, is to irritate Odie. You know, not to provoke her to wrath, but just test her once in a while. You know, make sure she's praying like she needs to be. And one of the things she hates in our home, this is our home over here. One of the things she hates is for me to ask my wife, is Odie ready? You know, she's right there behind her bunk curtain with her little feet sticking out. Is Odie ready? And my wife say, I don't know. I haven't talked to her lately. And she'll finally push the curtain back and say, I hear every word you're saying. Talking about her rather than talking to her. Like my wife and Kelly Joe and my daughter Odie often find that when they're out shopping in a mall or something, somebody will walk up to them, and because she's in the wheelchair, think about this. Next time you address somebody you don't know and they're in a wheelchair, they talk to my wife about her rather than talking to her. Like a blind friend of mine, he said every time he's in a restaurant, the waitress will come around and ask his wife, does he want more to drink? Is his steak good? And he's like, I'm blind, but I hear every word you say. And they'll say to my wife, how long has she been in a wheelchair? Oh, her hair was so beautiful. How long has it been since she cut her hair? Oh, you know, just on and on and on. They talk, but they don't. Odie's over there going, I can hear you. And I can speak just fine. Think about that the next time you walk up to somebody with a handicap. It's just a natural thing to talk to the person with them. But I want to tell you, nothing gets a person like that to be more than being ignored when you could talk to them. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus talked to the disciples about her, but he still didn't talk to her. Boy, she could have done like a bunch of us did. I'm going home. I'm not going to put up with this. But she answered and said, Lord, help me. She worshiped him. I said she worshiped him. She kept right on worshiping him and said, Lord, help me. And then when he did talk to her, he didn't talk pleasant to her. He said, it's not meet, it's not proper for me to do this for you. I'm not sent to you yet. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this woman said, you're telling the truth. But even dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. I want to tell you, this woman would not give up. Amen. Amen. She's reaching. Amen. You're right, Lord. Truth, Lord. But even dogs get some crumbs. I'm telling you, faith just keeps reaching for God. And he finally turned to her and said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Oh, thank God. Just keep reaching for him. Just keep coming back to church. I said, just keep coming back to church. Keep listening to the preaching.
Keep going to the altar. Keep going for special prayer. Keep praying at home. The Lord hears those prayers. He's going to answer them. Great faith. Great faith. I think it was Adam Clark said about these verses. I wish I'd have thought about this. So simple yet so profound. He said this woman's faith is like a creek, a dry creek bed that in the dry season it gathers leaves, limbs, debris, maybe even trash. And then the heavy rains come. You ever get one of those rains? You remember those rains? When it comes, it just cleans the ditches out. And the debris and the leaves and the trash and the limbs, they start moving down that formerly dry creek bed, rushing before that torrent of water. Finally, they come to a culvert, a man-made place, and it blocks the flow of the water. And the water cannot get through. What does the water do then? Does the water say, well, I tried? No. As long as the rain comes, the water keeps coming. It just keeps flowing. And it builds up and builds up and builds up until it breaks through the obstruction. I have been places after a good rain, after a flood. I have seen places where the culvert was gone. The gravel was gone. The black top was gone. All because the water would not give up. Adam Clark said, this woman's faith reminds me of water. It just keeps flowing. It's what it does. It washes away all the hindrances. It washes away all the debris. It washes away all the doubt. Oh, just keep believing God. I said, just keep believing God. It's going to build up and build up and build up until the debris and the doubt is washed away and God heals your body. God puts your home back together. God saves your wayward child. What do you need Him to do, my friend? Just ask Him in great faith. This woman's faith rescued her daughter's future. Her daughter was healed from that very hour. That's what great faith does. It changes the future. You and I will never change the past. It's done. Can't do it. Can't focus on it. It'll drive you crazy. You really can't do a whole lot about today. Not the past few moments. Those are already gone. The present, all you can do is trust God. And in that trust, your future is wide open to the blessing of God if you will have great faith. What is it you're battling with tonight? What is your impossible situation? What is that thing that constantly bumps up against you and keeps you from making forward progress? I come tonight to preach this simple message. You can have deliverance. You can have healing. You can have help if you'll only believe. I've been preaching in tent revivals all summer this year. All summer, the theme of our tent revivals has been, you can dare to believe God. I said, you can dare to believe God. God is trustworthy. God will never let you down. God will never come up short. I would that somebody tonight would have faith in God. Faith in God. Would you bow your heads with us here for a few moments? Father, I thank you for speaking to my heart. And I pray, dear Lord, that you have spoke to hearts in this congregation, visitors, home folks, young and old, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, children. God, speak to our hearts. Oh, God, I know you want to move in some impossible situations if we will believe. If we will believe. Do you believe Him? Do you trust Him? Are you willing to rest it all in His hands? In the name of Jesus.